Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Creative Caravan Roadshow from Creative Caravan Club. This is Suzanne Lawrence, your host, and my co-host, Wendy Dewar-Hughes, is not with me today. So I'm just really excited because I get to do this interview of an author that I've been following for quite some while, and her name is Gail McMeekin. And rather than tell you too much about her myself, I'm going to let her kind of introduce herself to you and tell you all the cool things she does. So welcome, Gail. Thanks for being with me today.
Oh, thank you, Suzanne.
Yeah, so let's let you just kind of tell people. You seem to be one of the most creative people in the world because you just do all kinds of stuff. You've got some wonderful books out. You coach people, all kind of things. So if you would, just give people a little bit of information about your background and what you do.
I certainly will. I started out as a therapist working with children and families and got really interested in how come all the parents hated their jobs, so shifted into career coaching and corporate work and outplacement and so forth. And then I got chronic fatigue syndrome because I'd been burning myself out and stopped. And at that moment, all of a sudden I had this creative awakening where I wanted to redesign things. I started reading fashion magazines and decorating magazines and art magazines, and I started painting and so forth. And in the process of that, I became very disturbed about the fact that there were all these books out there on creativity, and they would only mention, you know, maybe Martha Graham or George O'Keefe or something, and it would all be men. And even my beloved PBS had a book out that just had a couple of women in it. So I became passionate about somebody needs to write a book about modern-day, sane, successful, creative women. So that was how the 12 Secrets of Highly Creative Women was born, and I was so lucky that Canary Press picked that up, and the women who participated in that book, everybody from Sarah Bond Bronick to Clarissa Pinkola Estes to Loretta LaRoche and all kinds of people from many different professions. It was just a wonderful gift. So that set me on a creative adventure, and that was followed by the 12 Secrets of Highly Creative Women Journal, which is actually not just a book of quotes, but it's actually a process that people go through because people kept saying, please do a journal book for this. And even though there are lots of exercises in the first book, there's that book, and then the 12 Secrets of Highly Successful Women, where I really take creative challenges and have people really look at success to a much higher level. And then I have another book called The Power of Positive Choices, which is my theory on stress, which is you can lie down on the floor and meditate all you want, but if you hate your job and you don't like your spouse and you're sick because you're not taking care of yourself, you're still going to be stressed. So
yeah.
And then my latest project, or one of my latest projects, well, actually there are several, is my husband, who's a professional photographer, and I put together a deck of creativity courage cards because in all my research with all my clients, courage seemed to be the number one thing that people struggled with. So these cards are cards that you can use every day to keep you on track, whether you're writing a book or painting a mural or inventing a company, whatever it is. So we did those as well. And I'm recently newly certified in soul collage and also scientific hand analysis, which I can talk more about a little later. So
wow.
Lots of things.
Yeah, lots of things. I was telling you before the show that this book, The 12 Secrets of Highly Creative Women, it's been updated since it first came out. I think the version I have came out in 2000. And
yeah.
I've you know, loved this book ever since. And when I went on Amazon, oh, a few months ago, I was telling Wendy about the book. I said, do you have this book? And I think she had it too. And I said, we just got to get the author on to talk about this book, because that's what we're all about at Creative Caravan Club, is creativity. So we've both enjoyed this book so much, I thought we need to have you on. Now, the book that I have does not have this in the subtitle, but the newer version says that it is a portable mentor. So can you tell us what that means?
Absolutely. Oh, you must have one of the gift versions, because actually the first version, which has this gorgeous green cover that they did the design on, they sort of, when they did the 10th anniversary edition, they kind of made all the books sort of look the same. But I actually fought for that subtitle, because my vision for this book was I wanted women to feel like they weren't alone and that they could just open this book to any page at any time and get some kind of inspiration. So I have inspirational quotes in there, but there are a lot of action steps. And it's interesting because one of the things that I've just spent 5 years training in is scientific hand analysis, which is not palm reading. It's a very exact science. And my life purpose is actually coach and mentor. So this whole concept of mentoring women has been in my bones and in my fingerprints since I was a child.
Yeah, I've always been a teacher or a writer or a coach. And, you know, kind of like you, when I was teaching, so many kids hated school. And I wanted to make school a place where it didn't have to be somewhere you hated to go. And then when I kind of left teaching because so many teachers hated teaching and that was hard to be around them, I wanted to coach other people who wanted to get out of their jobs to become writers. So they could, you know, have a fabulous life, because I think, you know, the writing life is kind of a fabulous life if that's really what you want to do and you get to do it. You know, it's really fun. Now, I noticed in the book, in the version I have, and I'm sure the newer versions the same way, you talk about gateways to creativity. Could you tell us about those gateways and what that means?
Yes. There are really sort of three stages as we dive into our creativity. And again, I just want to say, we're all creative. We all have the software, but so many of us had some kind of trauma or something early on, and we got stifled somehow. And so this book is a way to help you access it, because you don't have to be a writer or an artist, but people use their creativity when they solve a problem or reinvent a recipe or decorate a room, what have you. So the gateways, the first one is about engaging your creativity, which is a lot about claiming your creative self, following your fascinations, dealing with cycles. And the second gateway is mastering your challenges as a creative woman. These are really nuts and bolts things that people have to deal with. So this is dealing with saboteurs, finding the right guides, alliances, and dealing with rejections and roadblocks and self-focus. And then the last one is actualizing creative results using the power of positive priorities, which is related to my life planning stress book, The Power of Positive Choices. So it's about living in abundance, looking at the positive priorities that creative women choose to make their creativity a high priority, subtracting what I call serenity stealers, which are stressors that you need to either avoid, modify, or shift your attitude about it, and also planning, the planning that needs to happen in order to achieve your goals. So they're sequential, starting with what are your inspirations.
Yeah, I love the part on the saboteurs, because it was so interesting, this book. I mean, anytime you're kind of feeling knocked down as a creative person, just go open this book and read about some of these truly creative people that have been really successful at what they do. And you'll find that, you know, they've been knocked down at every turn too. And often it's by people who don't intentionally mean to do that. They don't realize that a lot of times what they say can just sort of, you know, cut you to the bone. And many of these people, it took them years to get back on track with their creative endeavors when somebody made just maybe a harmless, or they thought it was a harmless comment about the person's work. So I just thought that's helpful, because, you know, we've all faced that, especially when you're putting your art, your writing, any kind of thing out there for someone and then they judge it really harshly, it's sort of like, you know, part of your soul that you're putting out there to be judged. So that was really good.
And now with Amazon, I mean, any crazy person can go on and write something about one of your books. In fact, one of the women I interviewed for The 12 Secrets of Highly Successful Women was a young woman who's been very successful, and some guy wrote on Amazon that he thought she'd made up all of her testimonials and he was turning her in, and it turned out he was a marketing person and so was she. But anyway, it took her forever to undo that, and she was just devastated. So we do need to, as Eleanor Roosevelt says, develop the skin of a rhinoceros. And so we have no control over when it goes in the outside world, but when we're writing a book or starting a business or doing some kind of creative endeavor, we really need to be protective of our creative work. And I often tell people, you don't need to tell people what you're writing about until you're ready, and that you need to really find the people that can champion you and that you can trust, and that sometimes it can be your spouse or your parents or your sister or something who are actually your greatest saboteurs, and you're related to these people sometimes. And
exactly.
So that, you know, we need to be very discerning about teachers and editors and so forth, 'cause people do get competitive, and also, people often have no idea what they're talking about. So people say, well, you can't possibly make any money as a writer. Well, that's not true. There are lots of us out there who are making money as a writer, but you have to figure out how to do it successfully.
Isn't it amazing, though, how willing people are to tell other people what to do when they have absolutely no idea themselves? I just find that interesting because, boy, you can really get a lot of advice from people, and it's obvious many times that they don't know what they're talking about, but they're really willing to give you that advice. So I always find that kind of funny, especially with writers, because I hear that a lot. Oh, you can't write a book, or you can't do this, or you can't make any money from writing. And it's from people who've never written. So it's just kind of
interesting. Well, whether you're trying to write a book or whether you have back pain, there are people out there who are experts on what you need to do that have no degrees or licenses or don't know what they're talking about. And then there's another group, I call them the Ain't It Awful Club, who no matter what you decide to do, they're going to pick it apart, and because it's something they wouldn't have the courage to do themselves. So by putting you down, it makes them feel better about themselves. So there are toxic people out there, and we do need to deal with them, and we need to learn when criticism is helpful and when it's not. And very often in the beginning, I tell people, send your gremlins to Antarctica, just write, just work on your project. And later, you will very carefully think about who to share it with and why, so that you don't end up getting by some nasty comment. And of course, they're famous actors and writers who can all talk about having a whole series of rejections and you know, getting their dander up and saying, you know what, I'm going to show that person, I'm going to get a part in the movie, or I'm going to get that book published. But not everybody does that. Some people take their book and they put it in a closet for 10 years.
Yeah, well, let's talk a little bit about these 12 secrets, because they come under each of the three gateways. And so that first gateway is engaging your creativity. So tell us a little bit about that first secret about acknowledging your creative self. What does that mean exactly?
What breaks my heart is when I meet women for the first time and tell them that I wrote this book, The 12 Secrets of Highly Creative Women, and they say, oh, I can't read that, I'm not creative. Breaks my heart. So the first thing we have to do is acknowledge that we are creative. Creativity is about making new connections between ideas. As women, we do that all the time, whether we're trying to calm a toddler down in a grocery store, whether we're trying to figure out how to, do a big party at the holidays when the two families can't stand each other, whatever. We're using our creativity constantly, and yet we don't affirm that, and we have this very, rigid view that it's just writers and artists and scientists and and what have you. And the reason I interviewed all kinds of people, software designers and, doctors and so forth, is because business people, it's because we use our creativity in lots of different ways, so we have lots of gifts. But it's really important to know that when you get an inspiration, it's like a gift, and it's like a divine gift, and you need to pay attention to it and make time for it and nurture it like a relationship. We need to have a relationship with our creativity, just like we have relationships with real people.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, and way to acknowledge your creativity or your creative self is just to kind of maybe kind of look back and see how you use creativity in your life every day, different things you do, I guess. Because
exactly.
You may not, think you're doing that. I've always said everyone's creative too. They just don't realize it. What about honoring your inspirations? What does that mean?
Well, one of the things that I have people do is recognize that when you get an inspiration, because we're all so busy and distracted, that it may disappear if you don't capture it. So I had a client the other day who told me she was driving home from work, and she got this great idea for an article to write. And by the time she got home, she'd totally forgotten it and still hasn't remembered it. So I tell people, if you're driving and you get an inspiration, pull over and write it down or tell Siri or do something. But often when we get these inspirations, we do need to capture them because they can be fleeting and they don't always circle around. So that when our intuition says, this is a good idea or this is really important to me or I'm passionate about this or I'm interested, we need to stop and make a date with it. So we really need to have a date with our creative self so that we can get to know her and spend time with her.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, then the third secret is following your fascination. So how's a fascination different from an inspiration?
Well, sometimes we get inspirations that we decide we don't want to pursue. One of the things I do a lot with clients is help them get focused on which of their many creative ideas, which many people have, they're really the most passionate about and they're truly fascinated with enough to be able to stick with whatever the project's going to be. If you're going to write a book, you're going to be sleeping with the book, eating with the book, living with the book, and so forth. And if you don't really love that topic, you're probably not going to make the marathon. And so I often have people keep what I call an excitement list and really see where their energy is drawn to. And it might be, very random in the beginning, a color of a skirt, a beautiful tree, a play they went to, a song they hear, what have you. But there's typically a pattern when you do that for a while. And sometimes people try, particularly with writers, for example, sometimes people start writing the book that they think they should write, but there's really another book that they want to write. And so the process breaks down and they start procrastinating. And you often have to help them get to, well, what's the book you really want to write? And do you really want to write a book, or is it a video, or is it a speech, or is it, a coloring book or whatever? So the format, one of the groups I run is called Manifest Your Jewel of an Idea, and part of what we figure out is exactly what is that idea that you're willing to focus on, and how do you make it excellent, and how do you make sure it's the right idea and in the right format.
Okay. So this one's really interesting to me. Secret four is surrendering to creative cycles. And, we do all have creative cycles. I'm not sure I've really identified what triggers mine or when I have them. So tell us a little bit about that. How do we know our creative cycle?
With our creativity, there's sort of a birth, a death, and then a rebirth. In other words, when we're... you know, say writing a book or painting a series of paintings or, you know, in the initial invention stage in a business. It's all consuming, and we're giving birth to something. And just like women can get postpartum depression, after that's over, we can feel kind of sad about it being complete and letting it go. So there's sort of a grieving process that goes on when we put something out into the world. And we also need to rest. So that sometimes our fertility is kind of dormant, like winter, and we have to wait until we get the next idea that really pulls us in like a magnet. So we can be, just like with careers, we can be in what's called the neutral zone, where not much is happening. And sometimes for women in particular, when there's a huge amount of stress in their life, it can be hard to, you know, have their creativity channel clear because there's a lot of stress. And actually in my own life this year, I've had both of my parents die. I had another relative die. My husband's had two surgeries. There's been, you know, a whole series of things going on. So staying focused and grounded in the midst of all of that has been really challenging, and I'm just accepting it that it's just I'm in this cycle of, you know, huge transition, and I feel very confident that when it's all over, there are going to be some gems that come out of it, but they're not clear at this point exactly what that's going to be. So I'm continuing to do what I'm doing and beginning to get some creative ideas percolating again. But it's been a very tricky year where I've had, you know, I'm designing foundation funds for my parents and all kinds of things. So it's just been very intense. So I think we need to accept that sometimes we're just not quite as passionate, or there's something going on and we need to take a break. And sometimes, and we really need to take a break anyway, because I find for lots of people when they're on vacation or when they take time off or do a sabbatical or something, that's often when we get a lot of creative ideas, is when we get away from our environment and we have time to kind of putter around and let our brain sort of putter around and see where the energy goes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I find with writers many times they fear that if they take a break, they just give up, you know. And right. So that's where I try to help them get back on track. No, taking a break doesn't mean you give up. So don't feel like if you take a break, you're going to be giving up. Just realize, like you said, too many things are going on in your life right now to be too creative with your writing project or too productive with your writing project, but that doesn't mean you won't get back to it a little later. So, you know, I could see where that can just relate to so many other things in people's lives. We've talked a little bit about your other books, but tell us a little bit more about your coaching, because you actually are a career creativity positive choices coach and consultant in Boston, and you have clients all over the world. So tell us a little bit about how your coaching works. Do you coach people over the phone, over Skype, in person? How does this work?
All of the above, actually. I do Skype, I do phone, I do in person. Sometimes people fly in and do a VIP day where we, you know, spend 6 hours together and really just figure out exactly what the plan is, and we do some prep work and some follow-up work. And so I love seeing people live, and I love the fact that you can see them on Skype. I think that's fantastic. And so I work with lots of writers and other creative people, helping them get focused and get their work done. I see a lot of creative entrepreneurs and professionals who really need somebody to help activate their creativity software, plug it into their life purpose, learn their life lessons and so forth, which is where we get stuck and fearful, and then be able to, you know, create a prosperous mindset, focus, and actually get their personal, professional, and creative intentions actualized. And use lots of modalities and tricks and tools that I've developed over 30 years to help people do that and get them into action and get done what they intend to do. Because one thing I wanted to just say about cycles is that cycles is different than procrastination, because I see a lot of people who procrastinate out of fear, because if they actually finish a project, then people are going to see it and maybe judge it, and that's terrifying for them. So they just keep procrastinating. Oh, I never have time to write, or I never have time to create, or I can't get to that business seminar, and so forth. That's different than when we sort of get slammed with something in life, or we have an illness or what have you we have to deal with. Procrastination we have to untangle, because it's about decision-making and deciding and being committed no matter what, that we're going to do what we do. And being able to deal with, one of the other secrets is developing rejection resilience, because when we put new ideas out into the world, somebody's not going to like them. And somebody's not going to like us. So that we have to recognize that if somebody, like a publisher, rejects our work, it's actually a blessing, because if they're not excited about it, we don't want them as a publisher. We really want a publisher who's totally psyched about a book. I mean, they do so little marketing for us these days now anyway. You have to do so much of it on your own. But you want them to keep it in print. You want them to be a good partner. I always tell people, go look at books they've published. What does the cover look like? What does the paper look like? Read the acknowledgments. You know, do they talk about the people at the publishing company being great or not? And that's with any, whether you're making a record deal, whether you're looking for a business partner, whatever. We really want very positive alliances with people that, you know, love what we do. Because otherwise, it's better to just take the rejection, maybe learn something from it, potentially. Sometimes you don't learn anything from it. It's just a rejection. And, you know, move forward. I mean, Sarah Von Braunick's Simple Abundance was rejected like 35 times. And there are many famous people out there whose work got rejected over and over again. And you just have to hang in there and believe in it.
Right, yeah. Well, you've got a great website. You want to tell people the URL for that, and a little, let them know a little bit about your newsletter and how they can sign up for it?
Yes, it's creativesuccess.com, because I believe everybody can make their creative work successful. And you can sign up for my newsletter, which comes out when it comes out, usually pretty much on a regular basis. I've been on a little bit of a sabbatical. There's a free ebook, though, called The Path to Creative Success, that's on the homepage. You just click free ebook, and it talks, I've actually got a procrastination worksheet in there and all kinds of goal setting and visualization. And also, I made a video for my second book, The 12 Secrets of Highly Successful Women. I made 12 videos, one about each secret, so that's on my site, and that's free. And the ebook is free for now. It's actually going to end up being an ebook on Amazon, so I encourage people to go to creativesuccess.com and get that now.
Oh, yeah. It's a great site. There's just a lot of stuff on here, and they can see covers of your books, and for sure sign up for the newsletter, watch the videos, all that kind of stuff. That's really great, creativesuccess.com. Now, are you working on projects right now, new ones? You've mentioned several.
I'm actually working on a project that I've talked with Canary about, my publisher, that combines some different tools that I'm using, including soul collage and a special kind of journaling and the life purpose work that I'm doing with people. And so looking at new models for healing, empowerment, and creativity. So that's in the works.
Oh, wow. That's great. Well, gosh, I can't believe it, but we're almost out of time. So before I let you go today, can you just tell us, what's your best tip for anyone wanting to become more creative?
The best tip is to recognize that you need to spend some time being self-focused, which is not the same as being selfish. It's It's spending, I hear the battle cry from women and all kinds of creative people, I just need to be alone. I just need to carve out the space. I need to think straight. I need to get away from things. So to really look at how you work best creatively, is it collaboratively, is it by yourself, or what have you, and make that a top priority. So I have people put in their planning books or on their phone, whatever they're using, you know, in another color like purple. When is your creative time? When have you carved out? And you need to come up with a creative practice. And I talk a lot about that in the book, how to invoke your creative energy. And but we need to have a regular date with our creative self. And it's not selfish. It's just expressing who we are. And we need to have people around us who understand that and will honor that. Actually, a number of women I've interviewed over the years, and I've had clients too, they do not stay with partners or in relationships with people who do not love and support their creativity, because those people become saboteurs. So we need to choose our relationships wisely, but primarily we've got to start with this relationship with our creative self.
Yeah, well, that's great. Well, this has been really fun. Once again, I want to recommend this book, The 12 Secrets of Highly Creative Women. That's just one of your books that people can read and enjoy, and they can find them on Amazon.com. In fact, if they just go type your name in Amazon.com, they'll get a list of your books. And you spell your name Gail, G-A-I-L. McMeekin is M-C-M-E-E-K-I-N. And then also I want to encourage everyone to go to your website, creativesuccess.com, and look around, enjoy all the things there, and sign up for your newsletter. So thanks again, Gail, for being with me today. I've just enjoyed this enormously, and we'll have to have you again on the show sometime so we can talk about more stuff, okay?
I would love that, and also congratulations on Creative Caravan. The two of you are doing some fantastic stuff. I've really gotten into coloring, and I just downloaded your beautiful coloring book page. So thank you so much for everything that you do as well.
Oh, good. Well, we just have fun with this, so that's, you know, that's really cool. I'm glad people are enjoying it. All right. Well, listen, take care and happy holidays. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.